Scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The subject of this verse is, of course, faith, which I've been told is also the title of this evening's lesson. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to start off and say how grateful I am to be here, how grateful I am for the opportunity this evening to bring the message. I remember my freshman year at Harding. I walked in here and I looked around and my first thought was, this congregation is way too big for me to get involved. And you've shown me over the last 4 years that that is simply not true. So I appreciate you letting us get involved in the worship service and learn from you all, and you all have been very great mentors to the college students. Over the past couple of months, it seems that, at least for me, and I've heard from other people, that this has really been one of the biggest battles of faith that at least I've ever been through. You see, before we were meeting on Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, Wednesday night, and in a matter of moments, it all seemed to come to an end. And then I don't know when the Foothills congregation decided to open up, but my congregation in Florida, we stayed closed for 5 months. So almost half of a year, we went to not going to any Bible classes, not going to any worship services. And it really was a test of faith. Before, you see, when we missed a Bible class or we missed a worship service, somebody would know that we missed. Somebody would recognize that, hey, this person hasn't been coming. Maybe we should check up on them. But over the past couple of months, up to this point, if we missed worshiping God, the only person that would really know was me and God. It was really up to us whether or not we worshiped. People wouldn't miss us. I remember Paul telling us a story a couple days ago, and Paul tells a lot of stories, but this one really got me. He was talking about a time, I think it was last year, when he had to lead singing in front of the Harding Board of Trustees, and it was on a Wednesday night, and he got a call from Miss Carolyn Noakes after that, and she asked him, you know, why weren't you at services? And I thought, how great is that? That somebody would call you and ask you, you know, why weren't you here on a college student on a Wednesday night? They were wondering why he wasn't here. We really missed out on this sense of accountability over those months. And so tonight we're going to talk about faith and ask the question whether or not we've actually built on our faith during that time, or have we lost some faith? The subject of faith, there's two things that come to my mind. It's this trust and a reliability. When we have faith in something, we deem it trustworthy and we deem it reliable. The starting of this school year, we've had to do a lot of our classes online. And so when you have your classes online, you need to be able to trust and rely upon your internet source. And we learned very quickly that our internet source was not very trustworthy and not very reliable. But I read about a man in my New Testament who says that he is the same today that he was yesterday, and he's going to be the same tomorrow that he was today. That man is trustworthy, and that man is reliable. So if you get anything from this lesson this evening, remember, internet, not faithworthy, but Jesus, faithworthy. I'm reminded of the last thing that Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, you'll remember the story about two men. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall liken unto him a foolish man, which shall build his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. What was the purpose of that passage. There were two men in the story. One decided to put his faith, his trust, and he deemed something reliable that in fact was trustworthy and in fact was reliable. When the rains came, the floods descended, and it beat upon that house, it didn't go anywhere. Why? Because of what it was founded on. Because of what he decided to put his trust and his reliability on. But the other man wasn't so smart with his decisions. He deemed something reliable and he deemed something trustworthy that in fact was not reliable and was not trustworthy. One of my favorite songs sort of sums up this story. It says, "Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land, but mine's on the rock that forever shall stand. Jesus, the rock of ages." It shows the difference between a faith in Jesus and a faith in self. A faith in self is always going to leave us stranded. A faith in what I can do, the fame that I can build for myself, the treasure that I can store up for myself. You see, many people were putting their faith in their treasure and their fame before this pandemic. And then it hit and all of it went out the window. We learned that we simply cannot rely on ourselves. We cannot rely on our government. The only one that we can rely on to remain true is Jesus Christ. When Paul was mentioning before, and they've joked with me before about I'm not very creative in naming my sermons and putting the points together. So point number one is, in fact, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I do not have a clever title for it, but we're just going to go straight from what the word says. Hebrews 11, 1. And when I read this, I'm sure there may be somebody in here who has the American Standard Version. I think that that truly captures what this verse is talking about. The American Standard reads in Hebrews 11, 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen." A conviction of things not seen? How can you be convicted about something that we have never seen? And this conviction goes far deeper than something that I mentally know, I mentally believe. It goes above my wants. It goes above my needs. It goes above my desires. My family and my life all fall short to this conviction that I have. Do we read of anybody in the Bible who is convicted about something that they had never seen? If you would, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, and we'll read verses 9 through 11. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "And she said unto the man," I know. Pause right there. She didn't use any language that she could backtrack from a little while later. She didn't say, I think or I feel or perhaps this is what it is. She said, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." Question. Did the person talking about this physically witness the sea drying up? No. They heard about what happened. Verse 11, "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth below." When we read those words, we would think that somebody high up in the religious world probably said something like this. It would take somebody with a great deal of faith, somebody well known probably, to say something like this. But instead, these are the words of Rahab the harlot. She's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 amongst Moses and amongst Abraham for the kind of faith that she had. She didn't witness any of these miracles happen with the Red Sea, but because of what she heard about the God of Israel, she put her faith in him. We need a faith like that. I think of this other man in the New Testament named Thomas. You remember the story of Thomas? After the resurrection of Jesus, they came and they told him that Jesus rose from the dead. And he said, I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead until I put my finger in the holes of the hands where the nails drove in them. I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead until I put my hand in the hole in the side of him where the spear stuck him. Then Jesus appeared to Thomas, and he invited Thomas to stick his fingers in the holes of his hands and stick his hand in the hole of his side. And he said something to Thomas that stands out, and it's a reminder for you and me. He says that you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I remember a man in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. He came to Jesus running and he fell on his knee and he said, Great Master, what can I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, Why callest thou me good? And then he said, Well, you know what to do. And he started listing off some of the Ten Commandments. And he said, All these things I've kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And he asked him one question. He said, Go, sell all you have. Pick up your cross and follow me. It's a question because he had the choice to do it or not. He went away sorrowful. And it says that he went away sorrowful for he had great possessions. Now, when you just read that, I would think the opposite would be true. I went away happy because I had great possessions. But this rich young ruler was searching for something that he could not find in material things. He had everything that he could ever want, and he needed something more. He came to Jesus, What can I do to have eternal life? And he went away sorrowful because he was not willing to give up the things of this world to follow Christ. He's the man who built his house upon the sand. He put his faith. He deemed something trustworthy, and he deemed something reliable that had to do with himself, when really the only thing that is trustworthy, the only thing that we can truly deem reliable, and the only place we should have our faith is in Jesus Christ. Point number two, I want to talk about some ideas about faith. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. We've heard the statement, the leap of faith, and when we hear this, we usually associate it with jumping into a situation that we really don't know anything about, but we're just going to arbitrarily jump into the situation and call it a leap of faith. Well, yes, faith involves some element of the unknown, but how do we get there? It's based on the evidence. It's based on the fact that we have been convicted of our belief in Jesus Christ. It's based on the fact that we are willing to die for our belief in Jesus Christ. We'd make the decision to put that above everything else. We came to the crossroads. We had the decision to either put our faith in the sand, in the house built upon the sand, or we can make the decision to put our faith in the house built upon the rock. We get there through the evidence. We get there through the Bible, knowing what it says, seeing God revealed in its pages. Point number next, faith is built on facts and not feelings. I know that there are some emotional aspects to Christianity. There 100% should be. We definitely need to love God with all of our hearts and all of our minds. However, our faith cannot merely be built on an emotional relationship with God. Why? Because our emotions will change. And when they do, then we have no basis to continue our faith in Jesus. We have to build our faith on something deeper. I'm reminded of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you. with meekness and with fear. We have to know why we believe what we believe. We have to be able to tell people why we believe what we believe. We can't simply rely on an emotional relationship with God. We need to be able to tell people why it is we have that faith. The next point is faith is a daily walk. This hasn't been true more than through this pandemic. Faith is a daily walk. Whenever we turn on the television and it seems like the world is just getting worse and worse and worse, we cannot rely on simply going to church on Sunday and expecting our faith to truly grow. Faith is a daily walk. It's a choice that we make every single day. What am I going to spend the majority of my time on today? What am I going to focus on today? What are my goals for the day? Do they have to do with me, or do they have to do with God? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight. The man who walks by sight will always fall, but the man who walks by faith, his path is illuminated." He's the man who can see. He's the man who's following after Jesus. He's a man who made the decision to deem Jesus trustworthy, to deem Jesus somebody who's reliable. Instead of putting my faith in myself, we need to make a decision to put our faith in God. It's not a decision that we make when we wake up on Sunday morning and we say, "Am I going to go to church this morning? I wonder, how do I feel? What time is it? Did I wake up early enough? Did I get enough sleep last night?" When you choose to put your faith in God, that decision has been made for you. You decide that you're going to follow God and do what he said. What exactly does faith look like? If you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. I don't think I can go throughout this Bible and find a more perfect picture of what faith truly looks like. This is a passage that very much stuck out to me through the pandemic, through the churches being closed. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. "And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went up to them, walking on the sea." Jesus went up to them, walking on the sea. What just happened? So Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. He sent his disciples on the boat. And then when he was going to them, he walked on the water. And you remember what the weather was like, right? When they were out on the sea, the storm was blowing, the winds were going, the rain was coming down. It was a terrible day to be out on the sea, but there they were. And there is Jesus walking on the water. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down on the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus." Peter walked on the water? Let me ask you a question. Did Peter do this based on the power of Peter? No. He did this on the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus asked him to come, and he went. He didn't ask any questions about, "Well, is this physically possible for me to go? Well, Jesus, don't you see what the storm is doing? Even if the conditions were perfect. There's no way I would be able to walk on the water. When Jesus asked Peter to walk on the water, he said, come. Peter got out of the boat, and that first step that Peter took, that went not into the water, but it went on top of the water. That is what faith looks like. There's the picture of faith. He's doing this regardless of what he already knows. He's doing this regardless of what his physical limitations are. When Jesus told him to do something, he didn't ask the questions. He just went. Peter had his eye on the prize. He was able to do this because he wasn't focused on the things around him. He was focused on what was straight in front of him. Now, how can we make practical application with us? Where is our focus in life? Are we focusing on the things around us? Are we focusing on what the government is doing? Are we focusing on what the news media is telling us? Are we focusing on what next is this coronavirus going to do? What next is 2020 going to bring us? See, that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to focus on all those things, but we need to be like Peter and step off the boat. Do what Jesus asked us to do, regardless of the conditions. And I wish that was the end of the story, but let's continue reading. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and was beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So what happened to Peter? Peter knew what the conditions were when he got off of the boat. That was the first thing mentioned in the story, was what the conditions were. It said it was a terrible day to be on the sea. It said the weather was terrible. He already knew that when he got off of the boat. But you see, Peter took his eye off of the prize. He started focusing more on the things around him than what was right in front of him. And he began to sink. The more I think about this story and the more I play it over and over again in my head, Peter starts to look less and less like Peter and more like me. How many times throughout this pandemic have I focused on other things rather than on God? How many times throughout this pandemic have I been more worried about the virus than I was about the situation of my spiritual life? I'm sure there's many of us who think back and we think about those times, especially in April and May, when we had no idea what was going on and we were filled with worry. I'm sure everybody was filled with worry and we started focusing on all the wrong things. That's exactly what Satan wanted us to do in that situation. He wanted us to focus on everything that was going on instead of focusing on what was straight in front of us. And we got our eye off of the prize. But did Jesus let Peter just swim around drowning? Jesus went to him and he stretched forth his hand and he picked him up out of the water. That's the same story though for you and me. When we begin to do the same thing as Peter, we begin to focus on these other things and we begin to drown, Jesus is there to pick us back up. When we make the decision to put our faith in Jesus, he's the one that we rely upon and he's the one who has the power to save us. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we have a God that cares about us like that. When we do the same, we have the same kind of faith that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, a faith that can move mountains. When Peter began to look at the situation around him, that in fact was already there, he let the fear creep into his soul and he began thinking more about his own physical situation than he was when he first got off the boat. We do the same thing. In times of crisis, We don't think about our spiritual salvation. We don't think about our souls. We don't really think about our neighbors some of the time. Our first priority is, am I going to be okay? Am I going to make it through this? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We open up our Bibles and we read about these stories of people who went through some tribulations before in the past. And it's when you read the Old Testament stories, it seems like they were going through things far worse than a pandemic. But yet God was always there to rescue them, and God is still here to rescue us. Growing in our faith will not come accidentally. We're not going to stumble upon a deeper faith in God. It is an intentional process that we make each and every day. It's a decision that we make each and every day. We decide that we're going to focus more on the things of God than the things of this world. We do this through prayer, through study, through fellowship with one another. I think that's been one of the greatest things about coming back. We're able to fellowship with one another, tell each other about the different faith struggles that we've been going through this pandemic, realize that we're not in this by ourselves. We can rely upon our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That's something very unique about this congregation in particular, is that we as a family have been through the best of times, and we have truly been through the worst of times together. And yet we made the decision to stick together because we're family. We made the decision to rely upon God instead upon me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I feel. It's about a commitment to God. A commitment to Christ looks like service to others. And we show our love through consistency with one another. Perhaps there's someone here this evening. When you hear this message and you think about your own faith, and maybe you aren't in the same spiritual situation that you were before the pandemic, instead of your faith strengthening, perhaps you're in a place where you don't feel like your faith is as strong as it should be. Maybe we've laxed in our faith throughout this pandemic. Folks, just as Jesus was there to pull Peter out of the water, he's there for us here today. Perhaps there's someone here this evening who has not yet obeyed the gospel plan of salvation. I want to tell you how to become a Christian. First, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Then we must repent of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Publicly confess our belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Be baptized, completely immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, Mark 16, 15, and 16. Living the rest of our lives faithful to Him, choosing Him over choosing ourselves. Perhaps there's someone here this evening who has already obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, but you've erred in some way. Maybe we haven't been as faithful as we should, and we need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Today is the day to do that. Do not waste another second separated from God. If you need anything at all, please do not leave this place separated from Him. If you need anything at all, please let it be known by coming to the front as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Take my life.